Welcome to the Tech Talks Daily Podcast, where you can learn and be inspired by real-world examples of how technology is transforming businesses and reshaping industries in a language everyone can understand. Here is your host, Neil C. Hughes.
Greetings and salutations and a warm welcome back to the Tech Talks Daily Podcast. Now, do you remember when advent calendars used to be just a small piece of chocolate behind each door? In the last few weeks, I've seen so many this year costing well over £100 and contain everything from makeup, beer, gin, wine. I'm curious for all the big kids out there who find themselves looking at luxury advent calendars. What are the best and what are the worst that you've seen out there? Let me know, as always, by emailing me at techblogwriter@outlook.com. But this is a tech podcast. And today's guest is John Tait from Transaction Network Services. And he's going to be talking to us today in Sydney, Australia. And we're going to be discussing the important role of SD-WAN and what role that's going to be playing in enabling the next generation of connected payments, and what that's going to mean for merchants and consumers alike. In a nutshell, SD-WAN enables retailers to securely connect a wide range of devices to their POS systems. And this can be anything from ordering a delivery of milk directly from your refrigerator to ordering new ink cartridges directly from your printer to paying for parking, gas or car washes directly from your vehicle. It's one of those instances of how technology is transforming everything around us, but we don't actually know too much about it. So buckle up and hold on tight as I beam your ears all the way to Sydney, Australia, where John Tait is going to speak about all this and much more. So a massive warm welcome to the show. Can you tell the listeners a little about who you are and what you do?
Thanks very much, Neil. It's a pleasure to be here. And my name is John Tait, and my role is the Global Managing Director of the Payments Market Business for Transaction Network Services, or TNS, as we call ourselves. And it's a position that I've held since August 2020, and I'm based out of Sydney, Australia. I've been with the business, that is TNS, since 2016, and I originally joined as the managing director for our Asia-Pacific business in this part of the world. And in 2018, I took on a position with the TNS Asia-Pacific Advisory Board. And in 2019, I returned to the business to take on an expanded role that included a newly acquired business that we made in our franchise, which is known as Advam. So that was my responsibility for 2019. And it was not until 2020 that I took on the current responsibility, which is leading our payments team across the Americas, Europe, and Asia Pacific. And my tenure at TNS has been highlighted by a lot of fun, an opportunity to work very hard and to be very successful with a great team of payment experts that come to work every day passionately to deliver for our customers and for our broader stakeholders.
Well, it's a huge pleasure to have you on the podcast today. I know it's getting quite late there in Oz, so I appreciate you working outside of hours to come on here. And I want to take you back before TNS. I mean, can you remember that spark that lit your passion for tech, where it came from and how those worlds of technology and fintech and payments collided, and ultimately what put you on this path today? Or as they would say in the Marvel series, what was your origin story? Can you remember?
I certainly can, Neil. It's an interesting story, and it goes back to when I was in kindergarten. Wow. So it goes back a long, long way. And when I was in kindergarten, I had Sally sitting on one side of me and Billy sitting on the other side. And when the teacher asked us what we wanted to do for school, for a career when we grew up, Sally put her hand up and said that she wanted to be a doctor. Billy put his hand up and said that he wanted to be a fireman. And I put my hand up and I said I wanted to work in technology and payments. And from that time on, I've had the passion and the energy to be involved in an industry that is phenomenal in its capability to support consumers, phenomenal in its capability to change and be dynamic around the need to support consumers. and more importantly, an industry that changes so dynamically that it gives you a challenge every day you come to work. So I've been involved and interested in payments and technology and fintech since I started my professional career more than 25 years ago when I started at an organisation known as the National Australia Bank. And I then moved out of there and joined a very large payments fintech organisation known as First Data. And then from there, I joined an organisation called Inju and now ultimately into Transaction Network Services or TNS. So that's my story and my journey. There's been a few twists and turns in the chapters along the way, but it's been a good ride so far.
Wow, what an amazing story. But on behalf of everyone listening all over the world, as good as your story is, you know I've got to ask this. What happened to Sally and Billy?
Well, I'm not too sure, actually. It's a good question. That I'm pretty confident Sally would have gone on to be the doctor that she wanted to be, and I'm fairly sure that Billy could have ended up in jail, but let's not talk too much about that.
Oh, I love it. And that path, though, led you to your current position at TNS, which does provide global managed data communications and interoperability solutions to the payment industries. But can you tell the listeners a little bit more about these solutions, what they consist of, and how consumers are using technology to solve real-world problems and challenges in this digital age that we're in now?
Yeah, I sure can. So, Neil, we think about our business across sort of an infrastructure as a service lens. And within being an infrastructure as a service lens, we come to market with our solutions in a way that enables a merchant or a retailer or a business to accept a payment. Now, they may want to accept a payment through a point of sale terminal. They may want to accept a payment through an online web portal. They may be a specific niche business that works in parking, and they may have some prepaid parking applications that they want to be able to support. They may have online or in-app payments that they want to be able to support. So first of all, the first piece of infrastructure that we operate is that we enable a business and a consumer to make a payment through our what we call our consumer touchpoints. So those sort of payment devices that I just talked about. Then secondly, we sort of move into the connectivity of that payments device. So we then enable a payment to be processed from any device, whether it's a point of sale, an e-commerce gateway, an ATM, a kiosk, any form of IoT capability. We provide connectivity services to enable that payment to be connected across our private network. And then when we process that transaction through our private network, we then have what we call transaction processing services, which enables that transaction to be processed and sent out to wherever that transaction needs to go, whether it's to a bank, whether it's to an organization like PayPal, whether it's to a third party with a QR code, whether it's a loyalty firm. We then enable that transaction to get out to the point that it needs to go to for authorization, clearing, and settlement. And we bring it back again. So from our standpoint, we're running the technology and the payments capability to enable a merchant or a retailer or a business to accept a payment, connect the payment, and process a payment. And we manage that as a service. And when we go to market, we pride ourselves on enabling solutions that really simplify the complicated payments ecosystem and allow them to focus more on improving consumer experiences. We recognise that in the area that we operate, security and data integrity is of the highest importance. So we wrap our capabilities up in what's known as the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard. And our approach to managing infrastructure solutions has its foundations as a technology and consumer behaviour focused organisation. So we're in a very strong position to combine business to business with infrastructure management and consumer needs in the way in which we bring our services to market as a trusted partner to the broader industry. In 2020, we celebrated our 30 years of being a worldwide provider in this space and had our birthday party last year. And we deliver this to market in a secure network that is managed and supported 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year across 60 markets globally.
And if we have any business leaders listening that are not too familiar with the world of finance or they know a little bit to get by, can you just tell us a little bit more about SD-WAN and how it differs from other network solutions?
Yeah, I can. So software-defined wide area networks, or SD-WAN as you call it, they're dynamic private networks that share bandwidth across connection points. They provide centralized control and security capability, and they provide creative zero-touch environments that is wrapped up in a mission-critical network intelligence capability that is usually managed in some form of cloud. So that all sounds very technology and jargony, but let me just sort of bring that to life at a more practical level. What we're fundamentally doing through SD-WAN is we're enabling the shift in consumer behavior. So if you think about payments in particular and data transmission through payments and through other forms, many years ago, Neil, we'd go to the retail outlet and we may have paid predominantly with cash or a single credit card or debit card. We didn't have loyalty products. We didn't have the need to utilize in-store Wi-Fi. Retailers didn't have the need to get immediate real-time data down to their point of sale or to their retail environment. And the requirement for network connectivity to enable the user experience for consumers was very simple. It was either a payment through cash or it was payment through a credit card, and the complexity in the network operations that sat behind that retail store was traditionally driven by a hub and spoke approach, where a retail store would connect to a centralized hub or data center in back office, and then that back office data center would then go out to the rest of the world to enable that connectivity to happen. Well, as consumer behavior has shifted, we've got consumers now that want to do more and more in store, and organizations need to get more access to broader points to be able to satisfy that consumer. So they might need to get a payment transaction to a cloud provider. They might need to get a payment transaction to a loyalty provider. They might need to get a transaction to a bank. And doing that through the old hub and spoke capability with everything that's happening within the retail environment these days has become almost an overflow of old world technology needing a solution for new world. And what SD-WAN has done is enable retailers and organizations that have much more diverse uses to support their consumers to be able to get from their store securely out to multiple endpoints to enable data to be processed and transmitted from that retail store rather than through a hub and spoke.
And I think now more than ever, we're continuously surrounded by technology, but for the most part, it is starting to become invisible. And one of the things I always try and do on this podcast is get people thinking about various things that they encounter in life that is all run by technology, but they don't see it or even care what goes on under the hood for the most part. And you mentioned zero touch there. So what are some of the use cases for SD-WAN that our listeners are likely to encounter in their everyday lives, but completely oblivious to it?
Yeah, so I'm going to stay on the payments theme, Neil, because I think it's most important. If you think about one of the most important transactions that we as a consumer undertake in a retail location or online through a website, it's usually making that payment. So if the network that sits behind the SD-WAN capability is struggling for varying reasons, what we have an ability to do with SD-WAN is to prioritize traffic. So what may happen is that a consumer may see that their payments transaction is not impacted and still able to be processed because for the retailer and the consumer to transact, that's mission critical. So we prioritize that transaction over other types of network traffic that may be coming into or going out of the store. So in the event that there's a problem, we're prioritizing the payments and maybe deprioritizing the retail SKU data that needs to go into that store to update their point of sale system. Or we're deprioritizing Wi-Fi while still making sure that the payments process is getting through. So if you think about that from the what changes daily lives, you know, you're getting an improved payments acceptance capability. Typically, you're prioritizing the things that the consumer is more interested in, so you're getting an optimized customer experience. You're getting an ability to offer value-added services such as in-store guest Wi-Fi. You're getting more support for modern cloud in-store apps and zero-touch routers in the way in which we describe. So there's no need for physical or less need for physical on-site support. A lot of that stuff can be done remotely through data center operations. There's an ability to support multiple in-store devices to optimize data flows in the way in which we just spoke about. And most importantly, you can change those customer traffic patterns depending on what needs to happen to support the consumers that are coming into your store. So you've got a lot more hands-off capability. You've got a lot more flexibility and prioritization. And all of that leads to a better customer experience in the digital world.
And although there is, 10,000 miles between us, we've both seen so many changes over the last 18 months to 2 years, and there's the birth of new words such as contactless convenience and low-touch economy. So I'm curious, where do you see your industry as a whole heading over the next few years?
I think, generally speaking, Neil, the pace of change that we've seen over the last 20 years in our industry will accelerate over the next 5 years. Yeah. Technology is evolving. Consumer experiences is demanding. The pandemic has impacted the way in which we want to interact and be involved in retail in particular. And, you know, there's other sinister things that are happening with increased hacks on data, more fraud attacks. So what we're going to see, I think, is an acceleration of the evolution that we've seen over the last 20 years over the next 5 years. And specifically, what we'll see is that managed network service providers, which is what TNS is, or infrastructure providers, which is us, such as us, will not only provide, you know, fit-for-purpose technology stacks, but we will continue to see us needing to support retailers as they reimagine themselves as destinations that demand interaction. They're going to be destinations that demand immersive shopping experiences with amenities. They're going to want guest Wi-Fi. They're going to want more things like electronic vehicle charging stations that are connected to their store and more value-added experiences. So we're going to see more and more multifaceted customer touch points that are going to become more complex, and there's going to be more creative point-of-sale solutions. You know, and we're seeing some of that now, like click and collect, curbside pickup, buy now, pay later subscription models, and really more sophisticated loyalty programs that are trying to get consumers back into store. So we're going to see that environment accelerate. We're going to see that complexity increase, and we're going to see technology be more and more focused on consumer experience. So if you sort of wrap that up and say, we're seeing a pace of change. There's been a Juniper research paper that was completed recently, which really talks about that point you made about contactless, and that we'll see that the adoption of contactless will continue to rise, with an expectation that 34% of all mobile devices will use contactless payments by 2025, I beg your pardon. And the research also forecasts that by 2025, contactless and e-commerce payments will account for 50% or an estimated $5 trillion of all transactions. So we're going to see that whole shift accelerating to drive more value in the different way in which payments are transacted and processed in store. And we'll see back office applications such as Windows and loyalty programs and stock inventory, customer and transaction data systems, they're all going to migrate to the cloud, and we're going to see more SaaS-based programs, and they're going to continue to gather pace. And above all else, the shift in retail models will drive a demand for business-to-business support to be more 24/7, 365 days a year, always on, always available computing, supporting the need for consumers to be better satisfied in their requirements.
Wow, sounds like you guys are going to be incredibly busy. And we are recording this at the time of year where you're going to be thinking about life in 2022. So what role do you see TNS playing in this future, and how are you preparing for it now?
I think the big area for us is the TNS Secure SD-WAN, which is powered by Fortinet, will help us underpin the evolving needs of companies so that they can focus on the business of their business. We will continue to evolve in those areas of consumer touch points that I talked about as they become different to enable a person to make a payment through a QR code rather than a contactless card, or make a payment through a loyalty program, or make a payment directly real time from a bank account, we'll continue to evolve on that. We'll spend a lot of time evolving our connectivity profile around SD-WAN, and we'll then continue to evolve our processing capabilities to be more facilitating payment orchestration and enabling people to accept those more broader types of payments than what they necessarily may envisage that they need to today as we go into the future. So we'll see a lot more of that coming together. We'll see the need for greater redundancy and resilience in the way in which network services are provided. So we're a telco carrier agnostic service provider. So that means that we run our networks on multiple carriers. So there's never any single points of failure in the networks that we operate. So it's providing greater levels of resilience and redundancy in the way in which we take our services to market. We'll see a greater need for experience in deploying payment security and being compliant with the latest industry standards to protect data and consumer data in particular. We'll see a need to continue to reduce total cost of ownership for businesses and moving, you know, cost away from legacy hub and spoke systems to more adaptable cloud-based connectivity solutions. And we'll see a continued shift in consumer experiences beyond what we know today. So all that will mean that that infrastructure that sits underneath the retailers and the businesses and the merchants and the banks and all of the participants in this ecosystem will become more and more reliant on mission-critical infrastructure that just doesn't fail. And that's what we continue to think about as we look to the future.
And it has been an incredibly difficult couple of years, and both in Australia and the UK, we've experienced long lockdowns, etc. And we start to miss things that we kind of took for granted before. For me, being 30,000 feet in the air on a flight for a couple of hours and being the only place you can get away from notifications and emails, to being on a show floor at a tech conference and just a random encounter with a stranger in a queue to a keynote session and having that chat with them. So I'm curious, what are you most looking forward to once the world opens up again after the pandemic?
Neil, I think if you sort of think about what's happening in the world of fintech, from our standpoint, our strategy is very much influenced by three macro themes. They are the evolution and implementation of 5G connectivity, the evolution and implementation of cloud, and most importantly, particularly in the payment space, which I think it's still very early days, is the evolution of AI. So AI, 5G, and cloud computing are the big things that influence us from a strategy standpoint. And as the world opens up from a pandemic standpoint, not too dissimilar to you, I look at the opportunity to travel again and be out there with our customers, with our partners, with our employees, to learn more about what's happening in those macro areas around the world to better help us to influence our thinking in the way in which we want to go to market with our customers and our partners going forward. So educating myself further by being out and about in the industry is certainly one of the most things I'm looking forward to as we sort of come out of the old world into the new world of post-pandemic life.
Absolutely love that. And we started today's podcast talking about your origin story. Now, before I let you go, it's time to have a little bit of fun with you. I always like to ask my guests, what was the soundtrack to their origin story? Is there a song or piece of music that has been frequently in their life throughout their career, just helps them get their head in the zone before going on stage, or reminds them of tech and the story behind that song choice? I know over there in Oz, you've got everything from AC/DC to INXS to Crowded House to Tame Impala. You've got rich pickings over there, but what would your song be and why?
Oh, Neil, I've got an eclectic taste in music. When I was going through high school, I played a little bit of guitar, so I sort of had an affiliation there for a while with, you know, blues guitarists like Chuck Berry and rock and roll bands like Led Zeppelin, and that sort of evolved to a bit more dance music as I got a little bit more older, and then I became a bit more mellow and, you know, fell in love with Mariah Carey, and, you know, and sort of the journey has gone on and on. But If you ask me today what the last song that I listened to before I got out of the car tonight, it was Robbie Williams' Angel, and that's an important song for me because a great mate of mine passed away recently, and it was one of our favourite songs that we used to listen to together. So I wouldn't say it influenced my professional career, but it certainly had a lot to do with my personal life. So that would be the one that I've listened to most recently.
I'm so sorry to hear that. It's a beautiful choice, though, and great reason for that. And before I let you go, for anyone listening that would like to find you online, contact your team, if we've got any questions at all about TNS, what's the best starting point to find you guys?
Yeah, as I said at the outset, my name is John Tate, and I am always open for business. The best place to get me is via email, which is jtait@tnsi.com. You can also find us through our website, through our LinkedIn pages and social media pages, and I'm also contactable via LinkedIn. So always open to business and delighted to talk to anyone that would like to learn more about how we can partner with them in any way.
Well, like I said earlier in the podcast there, we are all surrounded by technology now. It's almost become invisible. And with these trends around contactless convenience, low-touch economy, it's going to transform the payment space. It sounds like you guys are going to be incredibly busy. But I cannot thank you enough for coming on here, sharing the work that you're doing and what goes on under the hood, giving us all a little chance to take a peek behind the curtain. But more than anything, for sharing your story and that song choice too for our Spotify playlist. So thanks for joining me today, John.
Thanks so much, Neil. I really appreciate it.
So I hope you've learned more about SD-WAN and how it differs from other network solutions, and some of the use cases for SD-WAN that we're likely to encounter in our everyday lives. I know I've learned a lot today, so I hope it's been useful to you. And I've said this many times, but when I go to a concert or a sports stadium, I find myself looking for wireless arrays that provide that free Wi-Fi that people are just using but not thinking about. And do you have any examples of how you can't help but take a peek behind the curtain when you're out and about and the curiosity gets the better of you and you just want to know more about the technology that's bringing that experience to life that everyone's taking for granted? So anyone listening that's armed with a curious mind out there, send over your stories to techblogwriter@outlook.com. Send me a quick DM on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn at Neil C. Hughes. Or my website is techblogwriter.co.uk. I'll see you again bright and early tomorrow. But a big thank you for listening, and until next time, don't be a stranger.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Talks Daily Podcast with Neil C. Hughes. Remember, technology works best when it brings people together.